Yeah, thanks for that. For that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you want to go?
Yes. So, okay, so my notes are even more still very much sort of moving around. I'm one of those half informed. I'm an art historian. I've listened to music and played an instrument and everything, but of course my approach is different because I have no idea of what's happening in the electronic side of it. I'm also not entirely attracted to knowing anything about it. I've always had this really ambiguous relation to this whole element of to this extremely technified context which electronic music is. At the same time, I think it's really easy to translate it, the complexity of color with the complexity of what's going on in these technological elements is also a very tempting combination, because we, just as with the violin, I mean, it's true, I don't always think about the violin, but I do think about the fact that you have to go and knock on, you have to find that 10,000th tree which has the right wood which you can then use for the violin. And in the same way, we've lost so much knowledge about what color is, for instance, so that when we go up and try to understand the painting, we are so far away from it. So I think that there are somehow interesting parallels there. To me, it's impossible for me now, from what I've been through, not to think of the piece, the double vortex piece, without the knowledge which I was brought through the evening. So to me, that's going to be, I'm going to return to that. But first to the assignment. Why am I here? Why do I go into this black box? And I think that that's something which is interesting also to think about in relation to the artistic research. Am I there because I'm exploring this individual theme of a composer? Or am I there because I'm interested in something which is essential to the sound which is being produced? There's that element. How do I relate to that expression? Or is it something entirely different? Is it, you were talking about that applied issue? Mm-hmm. Is it something entirely different? Am I actually looking for this relationship man-machine, machine learning interfaces between movement and sound, and how I visually interpret the interfaces between movement and sound? I think that's something which is extremely interesting and complicated, and links a little bit with your work as well, what you were telling me yesterday. So it's. I think that's a really heavy issue which is there. And I also find that very satisfying, that is something which one then thinks about in that context, because I think this is what artistic research should be about. We are somewhere where we are beyond the aesthetic enjoyment and really trying to pick apart these issues. And then of course the layer which comes on top of that is, how do you then translate it? How do you actually communicate these two things that are happening, the technical, the possible knowledge takeaway, so to speak, and the aesthetic enjoyment which is also there. You were talking about you gave the keywords as sound, movement, and electronics. So I realized that when I go in there as this half informed, I go in there and I look at space, gesture, visuals, and music. So you say sound, and I must admit that I go in there maybe because of the context, and I do look for music. I look for something which is not just this. And of course, that is also what I'm given. I mean, this is a double vortex is a extremely compact, finished piece. Mm-hmm. However much ad hoc is in there. So to me, what was really interesting about this evening was the element of the gesture. So I take with me this three different, when I look at your works, three different expressions of gesture. The dance where I'm really led through with the clear plan. The gesture is like I'm in there in a rhetorical space of the dancer. And there are some moments, as I said, some moments of magic, where there is somehow the sound and the way the sound is constructed merges with the movement, and I thought that was one sort of as a composition gesture. And I don't know which of you are a master of that gesture, but I thought that was interesting. Also, this element of the space being there, the fact that I really experienced very much the floor in that first piece. And then the second piece, which was so different from the first one, this not trained body standing there, and the fact that there is that the whole body is not moving, but it's very much a thing of hands. Of hands and arms moving and doing something which implies that there might be a context and still at the same time might not be a context. And also this, what I found was really interesting with this piece was its contemporarity. To me, it was, though it was really odd, the narrative of the squeaking stones and in the beginning and the cars in the end, sort of short story which is being told. I sort of found the way the whole space was being used was very contemporary, and I was really thinking of computer games and of Iron Man and Batman, and at the same time also a little bit, I don't know if you know the Monty Python sketch, the bicycle repairman. This is really funny sketch. Do you know it?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Which is sort of turning it around, that the hero is actually the one who has the technical skills to repair the bikes, which is important. I think it's really important in these expensive, dark, weird places as this room is. A tiny sense of humor is somehow, I think, really, really important. I'll get back to that at the end. So that's where the role of bicycle repairman is important. And then, so this is a build-up, and in the end, there's this person standing there with his instrument, and there has been breathing before, also very efficiently expressed. And now the breathing takes up its own space. And what to me was really interesting was that in the beginning, I was looking at, I couldn't understand why you weren't looking at her during the dance.
I was, but in a strange way.
Yeah, that was really irritated me. And of course, in the beginning, in your piece, there's no issue. And I forgot, in the double vortex, I forgot to look at you, which I think is a really good implication of what was happening, because it was just so concentrated, and it was such an entity. And because I've been, the reason I'm here at the Setatika is that I've been working with the wind tunnel on the roof, and we are, of course, the vortexes are some of the jewels that we have in that wind tunnel. So I was also very much looking for how do I then sense this visual input which I have from the vortex. So how do I actually find the vortex, and am I in this sensory space of the wind, And I must admit that, that to me that really functioned. The way the wind, it started out with the wind and it ended up within the instrument and the sound of the instrument. And to me, I was sitting there, I was hoping, I hope it stops now. Because I think it stopped at the entirely right moment, which is interesting because apparently it's supposed to be a little bit longer. But
No.
Anyway, I thought it stopped at the in really at the right. So I forgot. I really stayed with the sculpture, and that is something which I think is also interesting. I've been working with something called the World Ornamental Forum, which is a yearly occasion where we work with the theme of ornament, how ornament understood as something which is in between, which also combines things, which is applied but has its own, because it is applied, it also interacts with things. It enables interaction. You have a building without an ornament, it stands there as the building. You have a building with an ornament, all of a sudden you have a flow around the building through that ornament. And we've opposed this to the theme of gesture, where you usually think about the gesture as something which is flowing. We actually think of the gesture as something which is like a sculpture. The minute you make a gesture, you're actually putting like an object, a sculpture, into the space. And so when I looked at this, composition, I very much saw this gesture as a series of little sculptures that were like being put into space, with the sound to it. So there was that. I think it's important really to think about gesture. There's been written so many interesting things about gesture, but the sculptural element of this was important to me. And yeah, least but not last, then the space itself. I think it is a really weird disciplining which we are doing to ourselves, sitting there. I think concert halls are really strange. I think this whole modernistic game of purity and this purity which is then also really so costly. This way of isolating one particular kind of aesthetic expression from other expressions. And sort of forgetting it. When I see you at the end, I see you stand there in your grey and black clothing, sort of very, very, I don't know, very Protestant, the whole thing. So I think we agree there entirely about, you know, where is this actually taking us? Slowly the sciences are learning that they are actually, they shouldn't just be in there doing their tests. Mm. They should be out there working with the tests in real life. And so much is happening through the whole citizen science culture. And I also think that this is it's beautiful to have this like this isolated aesthetic work, and I think that was successful. But I also think that the build-up and all the thoughts that are around it are just as important, which takes me to the glorious ending, which is that is why artistic research is interesting, because it really enables us. I think the whole, not just the piece, but the whole evening was important. And I think that not just the evening, but the whole, all the stuff around it is necessary. And that is sort of an engagement which we need to return to after having been put in this weird situation where we go into the concert hall and we have to sit down and be quiet. And I was thinking yesterday, 200 years ago or 300 years ago in Versailles, when something was being performed, of all the noises and all the sounds and all the weird clothing and that's sort of the life. I mean, there was no antibiotics, but there was a whole lot of other stuff there. So, yeah, that's it.
Thanks. So, my biggest takeaway is the tiny sense of humor.
Oh.
No, but just because
yeah.
I actually resonate very strongly
yeah.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that also links to your last comment about the context being very kind of sterile.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, the black box, which is the analog to the white box, white
mm-hmm.
cube.
Yeah.
Those are weird constructions indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this idea that you can make art absolute.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of detach it from reality. And that's something that I've been thinking of. And for example, in my piece, I haven't actually used these field recordings before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly also this notion of bringing in the outside, bringing it back
yep.
in.
Mm-hmm.
So the space that you create is not just that space, that abstract kind of airless
mm-hmm.
space,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually also another space.
Yep.
And in theater, that's always what I think between the difference between theater and performance art is that in performance art you are in the actual only, and in theater, in a lot of plays, of course contemporary theater does it differently, there's always also another something else being referenced.
Mm-hmm. Which is also why I think that there is this, there is a really interesting research component in there, because in that second piece, this whole issue of the gamer culture and of what how you actually build these spaces with the sound and the importance of velocity and time and the way you react in these spaces when you are gaming.
Yeah.
There are like billions of people sitting there in that kind of space.
Yeah.
And I think the sort of the concentration which you can do, this micro investigation is extremely interesting, because it comes from that individual, that central point of view, rather than the other guys here at the Zetadeka who are doing their gaming.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a different attitude in terms of experience. But I realize that, particularly in my piece, and I think that's been an impulse that I've had lately, is that it's a shared space with the audience. So it's a shared experience. So the notion of carrying not just the conceptual or materials that I have prepared, and that is like the music,
mm-hmm.
not just carrying that, but actually carrying both experiences, mine and the audience's. That's it's very interesting, because of course I'm very extremely exposed, and that was very interesting. Some feedback I got was this kind of this, the notion of vulnerability. That was very clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a struggle,
yep.
And so that's also one way of engaging them, so being not in control.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that speaks a bit to what you were saying in terms of these circles. So there's the inside, and then there is the audience, and then there's also the exterior, kind of the wild world. And maybe just a thought is that these investigations, let's say the more formalized or systematic things we've been doing in research, to me they have to relate to this moment of being in the wild, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where it links to kind of the social reality of like everybody. So it's not just an abstract game, but it's actually linking into experience. But I'm aware that this is still very much a lab. Kind of a bubble. And I know that the work you're doing, or your students are doing, are all kind of spreading out in all different directions, with like on different levels, with games, with like you know this kind of social media
mm-hmm.
engagement, etc., which I think is exactly what you're talking
mm-hmm.
to, that it doesn't stay in the bubble, but it kind of reaches out. So but I'm not of that generation. That's another thing. I think it's kind of that you have these levels also of conceptually carrying that or not.
I don't think it's a generation problem or issue. I think it's more an issue of whether you are doing that kind of thing or not doing that
whether
kind of thing.
Whether it's in my
practice
or not.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah.
it's that. Yeah.
But I would like to just turn one question back, because I really think this... I'm wondering whether it is a change of a paradigm change, or whether it could come, and whether it's relevant for you to say, yes, I'm not just this one piece is like one little crystal or diamond in there, but actually I'm interested in my audience as this partner in this exchange, and I'm not making a normal concert. I'm showing you these four pieces, and now you just don't, you don't just go home.
Yeah.
But we stay here, and then we talk about it, and then it's more of a social thing, and this is actually where we can also replay, because to me my main issue now is I want to see that piece again. You know, I'm not satisfied with just having this one.
Well, but that's
thing.
That's performing arts. I mean, it only exists in that time space, and then you have traces of it. I think that's one of the big conundrums that we have compared to let's say fine arts and more materials, is that our objects disappear. Some aspects of the objects disappear.
But isn't that because of some kind of production thought? That you
not
rather
necessarily. I mean, even if you have a theater piece which is performed 50 times,
mm-hmm.
each performance will be its own object.
Yes, of course.
I think. I mean,
of
contradict
course.
Me if that's.
No.
And then, but then you still have the repetition of this. For example, the glove piece I've played like 15 times in
mm-hmm.
5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's continuously changing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's not one object, but it's. But of course, you only experience a singular moment.
But you still talk about it as one piece, sir.
Well, the thing is, it's a state, actually. It's more, it's, I mean, piece is a short, how do you say, code.
Well, but still, I mean, conceptually, you're also thinking about it as one coherent
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's one, it's, and the thing is, it evolves, but it's maybe it's one concern I have. It's one. So, yeah, I mean, maybe also as an answer to the concert hall, it's convenient not to have to define this.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
these are like I think it all has to do with more with production than with living. It's
yeah,
more to see. I mean, I hear the Partiten by Bach. I hear them again and again and again and again, and I go
yeah.
to that and there and there and there and hear them, and
not only,
but and I do that because that's one of the issues that have always been there with music. That and at the moment in this field it's very much it's so complicated that it's difficult to
yeah
to
and it's,
find
it is
the
singular
repetition. Yeah,
I mean, it is kind of tied to
yeah.
specific things. I mean, that's a huge discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much. I might come back to you on a train ride or something.
Yes. No,
Manage.
Now the problem is how to. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Great. So I'm very happy because I think that kind of sheds a light in a different way.